Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And we're plowing through, I guess it's the 24th. We got one show left.
One show, the 31st, right? That is correct.
It's a five show month.
I know, for the price of four, as always.
Yep.
So there you go.
For the price of four.
How was your weekend?
It was okay.
You gearing up
for... Did you do anything special? It's been cold here the whole summer.
Well, it's because you have the overcast from all the fires.
No, it's the fog. It's fog. There's no fire stuff here.
Well, isn't it just cooling off everything, the heat? Isn't that how it works?
No, it's just the conditions of the... No.
I was actually out on the boat on Sunday and there was I guess it was the Saharan dust again that they were talking
about. Oh, that's right. That's supposed to be headed your way.
Yeah. And I was like, what is that going to look like? You know, how is it going to be? And it turns out that on Sunday at about 2 o'clock, as I'm traveling with my boat south and we're looking at what's going on, and it's like, is that rain? What is that? Is that mist? Something's going on. Because all of a sudden it was everything kind of beyond a certain distance was all hazy. And it turned out it must have been that dust.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't have a rain of fog. Or a deluge of frogs.
Oh, no. No, not this time. Not this time. Well, there's a lot to talk about.
Is that dust harmful? Because I know we get...
It's probably...
Probably.
I'm sure it's somehow you're inhaling that. It's not good for you. I mean, right? It can't be beneficial. Let's put it that way. It's not really possible. So, inhaling any kind of, is it cancerous? Is it,
Yeah, you get silicosis is what you'd get.
What is that? Like a buildup in the lungs?
Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Well, let's do a warm-up of what we have to talk about this evening. We have a lot of things. We have announcing a new Close to the Pin. That's coming up this evening. Calling all doves. Powell must stay. Everybody seems to be lining up behind keeping Jay Powell as the chair of the Federal Reserve. Kind of one by one, we're seeing more and more people talking about that as the decision from President Biden is coming sooner than later, that he has to make that decision on what's happening. And at the same time, there's a think tank that issues a mixed report on Powell, kind of a open-ended discussion, as think tanks do, don't ever give you a conclusion of any sort. Just give you information and you kind of figure it out for yourself. OnlyFans, big news. They're going to be keeping it clean. Talk about that.
Forced by the banks.
Yeah, well, that's who does it, right? If they say it's not going to be any, real housewives of Scarsdale, causing it, or any kind of left or right wing fanatics, because they don't have any teeth in it. The only people that get to cancel something is when they hit the pocketbook, right?
What are the banks? What hairs up their ass that they feel that they're the gatekeepers of morality?
Yeah, I don't exactly. I guess they don't want to potentially have some kind of liability in the event that it's child pornography, bestiality.
That's different. Rape.
Well, that's why there was that whole big hoo-ha over on Pornhub. The situation with Pornhub was all about the fact that there was some kind of rape and drugged women having, made to have sex and underage.
So what have the banks got to do with it? They're not part, right. Unless they own, there's some ownership aspect.
Well, that doesn't make any sense either, because if there was ownership, they wouldn't cut them off to stop their revenue stream.
I mean,
for God's
sakes,
it's a porn site. OnlyFans is becoming, that's what they became famous for.
Yeah.
So now they're going
to
stop.
The original idea was different. It was just happened to be that's where all the money was.
I don't understand it either, but it's weird. And then speaking about the morality police, booze is still banned in the air, keeping it so that in this is a great story we're going to talk about tonight, keeping it banned in, we'll just say non-first class, non-business class, in the common class.
Yeah. Screw the commoner that's back in coach.
Right.
We'll be drinking up cognacs up in the front. Sorry about that, suckers.
Right, sipping on a little Johnny Blue. And you guys in the back, you can have as much water as you want. Warm, by the way, warm water. And in the big news, FDA approves the Pfizer vaccine for all over the age of 16 years old. Now, a lot of people are going to be having to make new excuses on why they're not going to take it, because there's that incredible amount of people that said, you know what, I'm not taking this emergency use authorization drug until it's approved. Once it's approved, now it's like, well, I'm still not taking it.
Yeah, I'm still not taking it.
Still not taking it. It's not approved enough. It's too fast.
The funny thing is, there's another contradiction that shows up, which is, so they rammed it through. It didn't take any time. They just pushed it through.
Right.
And the other one is, how come it took so long? They've been working on this for 20 years.
Yeah. It's a little strange, the whole mentality of this. I mean, I told you my sister. I don't know if I told you what was going on with my sister.
Sharon.
Yes. Well, she came back and starts haranguing my parents about the, God, you took the vaccine. They're trying to kill you. There's a tracker in it. You know, this is bad.
She doesn't believe the tracker thing, does she?
I don't know what's going on, but she will not leave my parents alone. And my parents are like, I can't take it anymore. And you're not going to take the booster, or you're going to take the booster. They're trying to kill you. And, you know, I don't want to be near people with the vaccine, because those people with the vaccine are actually dangerous people, you know, who've taken the vaccine. Some kind of, I don't know, they irradiate something, or I don't know what's going on, but she's.
Exosomes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Ah. So yeah, that those people are dangerous. She only hangs around with people that are unvaccinated.
I think that whether or not there are exosomes, I think that would probably always be true.
Yeah. So very strange, the whole vaccine, you know, argument. I guess somehow our nation right now needs to have an argument, it seems, about something.
Well, yeah, Trump's not here, so what are you going
to
do?
We have to have an argument. Somebody has to be unhappy about something and then push it in your face. So what else we got? Market update. Amazon is adding back brick and mortar. No, let me back that up. Let me rewind that comment. Not adding back, because they never had, per se. They're adding brick and mortar. They're going after.
Well, they had brick and mortar in Berkeley at these little stores. They had them around the country two, 3 years ago.
That was that Amazon Go thing they were trying out, right?
No. I'm talking about just a regular gimmick store. It's like way before COVID, they've had this store. It was in Berkeley, and there's a few of them around the country. And it's kind of like a Sharper Image store with all kinds of gimmicky little cool things. You go in there. And it was also a place where you could drop off a product you wanted to return.
I don't know what obviously they're smart people looking to make money. We know that Amazon, obviously the king of retail. I just am not totally understanding, unless it's going to be more of, here's another place to drop off. Here's another place to pick up. Here's one more touch point for Amazon. But with all the stores they have now, the Kohl's drop-offs, and they have the Whole Foods.
Whole Foods. Yeah, and the University of California's got a big floor of the ASUC building is dedicated to Amazon.
I don't understand what the brick and mortar concept does for them, especially in a time when they were trying to. It's kind of like it's everything is going. The brick and mortar are trying to go digital.
Yeah, well, they're incompetent. But here's what I'm theorizing, and I'm hearing kind of like this. Amazon's going to look at some of these decrepit shopping malls. And
get it cheap, you mean? They'll just get it cheap?
Sorry?
They'll get them cheap, the prices?
They get it cheap, and they can turn half the mall into a warehouse for one-day delivery, because that's going to be their next big thing, same-day delivery. You know, not one day, but same-day delivery. So you can do that right out of these malls, and you can also open up a big store. So you take over the old failing Macy's, which is just a piece of junk nowadays. I mean, at least the ones we have on the West Coast, and the pennies are all gone, more or less. And so you just pick these up. You use them as like big giant stores. They figure they can run a store, because the real business is in the back end, in the warehousing, which is they'll turn the whole thing into a pick and pack.
Yeah. Or Luria's.
Yeah.
Which was, Luria's had a big, it was big in Florida. And the Southeast. And what they had was a catalog. There's other places like this, but they had a catalog. You'd walk into the store. There's a few things inside the store. There's some jewelry counters, but there's this giant catalog. You'd go through the catalog. You're like, okay, I want that. and I want that. And you'd fill out the little form and you'd hand it in, and then somebody would disappear in the back for a little while and voila, come out with your product.
Yeah, it's kind of like these giant libraries that have stacks you don't go back to. You just put the request in for the book and here comes the book.
Yeah.
It's also harkens back to the big loser in all this, which to me has always been Sears. And Montgomery Ward to a lesser extent, even though they failed before Amazon showed up. But Sears, the Sears catalog back in the 1800s, it was Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
How'd they lose their way to such an extent that some new guy just shows up and just pushes them out of business because they're too stupid to know what they used to do for a living? It's just always baffled me. I do not get how these stores dropped the ball.
Yeah. How they couldn't convert themselves into a digital experience, especially having all of that information cataloged to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
makes no sense.
I know. Market dips are being bought up again. We're back to the all-time high. It was a big week. We have the economic confab happening. Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Last-minute decision is going to be virtual. They're not going to be.
Yeah, went virtual. That's pretty lame.
They're not going to be there. So this is going to be virtual. And that a lot of people are saying that that gives them a little bit of latitude to be more vague in their conversations.
Oh.
More vague. More vague.
They need to be more vague.
Yeah, more. They need to be a little bit more obtuse, and kind of provide less information, because this is a time that often we've seen that there are some significant, for whatever reason, in August, there's been a lot of Fed, I don't say decisions, but policy announcements that are significant changes that have been made either to increase, let's say, the monetary policy process or to pull back. So this is kind of a weird situation. We talked about last week, a few players like Lagarde wasn't going to be there. And I believe the UK gent wasn't going to be there. A few different people weren't going to be there to begin with. Now, I don't know if they're going to add them back because it's virtual at this point. But
you think they maybe went virtual because they were going to be embarrassed by the people missing?
I think so, and I think also with all of what's happening with regard to this spread and what's going on with the COVID, it just doesn't look good. It doesn't have a good look.
Yeah.
So they got to figure that out. We got $500 billion that went missing over the last several weeks in China. Just poof, gone when technology stocks like Alibaba, Baidu, Tencent, but making a big comeback. See, on the game for one of the positions we picked and talked about last week, had a big run over the last several days onto the nice green area. And today, out of nowhere, somewhere around, I'll say, 1 o'clock, all of a sudden, the meme stock started to make a massive run. COS, Build-A-Bear, BlackBerry, GameStop, AMC, ramping. AMC was up, I think, 20% by the end of the day, and GameStop was up 28%, handing some tallied $1 billion of losses to the shorts.
Well, it's, you know what that means to me.
Back on the game.
Number nine.
No, go again nine is coming up, folks. Yeah, that's interesting. It's there was really nothing going on. I was looking for some commentary on what was happening. Somebody was talking about, well, take a look at the fact that we're seeing a drop in the Bitcoin and the crypto space, so maybe people are taking money out and throwing it over there. And we did see them come in for a little bit there. I think GameStop was up 40% at one point and came down only up 20 down, you know, down at lost about 15%, so down about 20, up 20%. And at the same time, we saw that Bitcoin was rising. Well, with taking money out of their profits there, they're ramping them back into Bitcoin. I don't know. It's kind of a weird situation.
When did Build-A-Bear get into this?
The thought that Build-A-Bear is even still around is just unbelievable. Have you ever done that?
There used to be a Build-A-Bear. I don't know if it's still there, but there was one in San Francisco once. And I visited it, but I never built a bear. I just wanted to see what it was like. And it was this, you know, I can see kids wanting to go there. And I just cannot see this during the COVID, you know, era. But okay, well,
in any fashion, but this is kind of a rite of passage as a parent to buy your kids one of these.
Did you ever do that?
Of course. Huh. My kids want it. They want it. They get it. Daddy, daddy, I want a Build-A-Bear. Okay. Build-A-Bear. But I mean, what do you do? How many of those can you do?
One, two.
I'm saying, you know, why not just buy what's
expensive,
available?
Expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, very expensive.
Yeah, I mean, it should be cheaper. Yeah. If you're building it, it seems to me that it should be cheaper.
Of course. It's like a buffet. A buffet should be cheaper than getting the, you know, the if I
most
go up
buffets get, are cheaper, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of buffets can be just as expensive. But I understand. You're doing the work. It's kind of like the equivalent of full service gas or pump your own.
Yeah, which is everything now, except in Oregon, I still think it's illegal.
I thought that it was interesting. I saw a little sign that says, you know, if you are disabled and you can't do it, please call this number. So what are you supposed to do? So
they fly somebody out from the East Coast.
What are you supposed to do if you're disabled and you need gas and you can't, for whatever reason, do it? You're going to wait around for how long? 20 minutes? I guess. I mean, God forbid the person inside the place could actually come outside and just.
No, heaven forbid. Most of those places have bulletproof glass.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. Well, let's talk about this think tank about Powell, because I think it's really interesting and important to talk about what's going on with the Fed, as we know that they are the sole or the majority source of liquidity, low interest rates, really driving a lot of the action in the markets. Well, this think tank comes out and he talks about they were highly critical of Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell's record on banking regulation. And they released an assessment on his 4-year tenure on Monday that by turns was kind of scathing, but yet complimentary, highlighting the competing considerations as U.S. President Joe Biden weighs whether to reappoint him. Now, there's a lot of talk about why this is all coming out now, that it's a predetermined situation, that he's already going to be, you know, reappointed. Why rock the boat? Why do anything weird? And this is all just kind of a little game in the news cycle to get it out there. Now, there's this company, Better Markets, which put out a, I don't know why they have to say a 23,000-word report. You know, whatever it was, a 25-page report that said that he had a very poor record on banking regulation. And he was inexplicably slow in response to climate-related risks. Now, of the two, clearly there is one of those that, in my opinion, falls under the purview of the Fed, which is banking regulations, right?
Well, I thought the banks were regulated by FDIC and a bunch of other agencies. No, the Fed.
No, the Fed is the big boy on top of them.
Okay. I don't know what climate change has got to do with banking.
That's what I'm talking about. They're slow on climate change. That'd be like saying that they've been very slow on their chicken parm recipe. I mean, what does that have to do with anything? You know?
Yeah, no.
God damn them. They haven't come out with a new recipe for chicken parmesan in months.
Yeah, it's about as unrelated as you can get.
Yeah, so this I understand and I do agree that he has been questionable on banking regulation. But again, remember that the Fed is banks. Banks is the Fed. You know, banks are the Fed. It's all, they were created. The Fed was created, the creature of Jekyll Island, to essentially protect the life and health and breath of banks. That's what they really do, which in return is the backbone of the financial system. So that it's not just one-sided that they're doing it just for their, you know, banking friends, but they're also doing it, which they are, but they're also doing it to protect the backbone of until we get off the dollar, until Bitcoin becomes the common currency. And when interest rates don't matter and we don't have any bonds, they are still responsible. They did praise him, though. Said that he has an exemplary handling of former President Donald Trump's attacks on the U.S. central bank's independence, and also took note of his quick and aggressive action to shelter the economy from the impact of the coronavirus pandemic and then the benefits of the Powell-led Fed new focus on boosting the labor market, which... Again, it's some of this stuff is it's related, but yet, you know, hey, you're great because you took a nice brow beating and didn't cry. I mean,
yeah, well, let's take some skill.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of markets are clearly in favor of keeping Powell. They want to keep, you know, we're in a simulation of where doves are flying.
I wonder what Yellen would have to do with calling the shots on getting rid of him. Wasn't he a protege of hers, or they were proteges of somebody?
Right. Yellen was the Federal Reserve chair before Powell. Powell was the under Yellen, but she came out also and says that she's backed the Federal Reserve chair's reappointment to the position. Now, bank by all accounts, Bernanke was easy. But if you want to look at easy monetary policy in the most recent few Federal Reserve, offices, it has to be Powell is number one, Yellen was number two, and Bernanke was number three. The amount of money in relation to quantitative easing, low interest rates under Powell has far surpassed Bernanke.
I never thought about that, but yeah, I guess so.
Oh, unbelievable. He's the antithesis of, the big guy. He died recently. Volcker.
Well, what about that other guy, Greenspan?
I don't know. Greenspan, the only thing that fascinated me about Greenspan was his ability to string together a thesaurus.
Right, that made no sense.
I mean, it's like
the guy was a walking non sequitur.
it was unbelievable. He would say things, and everybody's like, "I need to just absorb this." You know, nobody understood what he said. Seriously, I mean, everybody was like, "Okay, let's take this apart piece by piece." And you know, but what was talked about this before? What was the most fascinating? After he left the Fed, he wrote a book that was like an easy to read English. Now, how was that? You know, and then he comes out and he talks and he seems to be, like an everyday guy with a little bit of a better vocabulary, of course. But he was something. But again, markets are in favor of Powell being kept. Again, they want that dovishness. They want that easy monetary policy. Powell's going to be speaking again Friday. So we'll see. He's going to probably be easy. And it's fascinating because we have all-time highs in housing prices, all-time highs generally speaking, and we've recently had in commodity prices. We have a relatively good but not perfect, far from perfect, employment situation. We have all-time highs, I don't know if I've mentioned the stock market. We have all-time lows of interest rates. We have all-time highs in bond issuance. And we have inflation significantly outpacing. And he's like, you know, we still need to have emergency measures, $120 billion per month and zero interest rates. It's like, what am I missing here? Like, if our country can't get along at this point with, I mean, it's like having
all these crutches.
Exactly what it is. That's exactly what I was going to say. This is like having a 100-yard dash guy that got injured and now he's back in full form. But at the same time, we're riding him around in a golf cart during the race. It's just stupid.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yep. Well, who's to blame for the COVID spread? This is probably something you're going to talk about on No Agenda. Of course, No Agenda, Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on Thursdays and Sundays at noon sharp live stream. Unbelievable chat room, as well as, of course, available on any of your favorite podcasting repositories and apps. This is a question. Who is to blame for the COVID spread? Well, according to Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, it's African Americans. Them. He said, well, the biggest group in most states are African Americans who have not been vaccinated. Last time I checked, over 90% of them vote for Democrats in their major cities and major counties. So it's up to the Democrats to get as many people vaccinated. Them.
What? Yeah, that's obviously the whole thing, sure.
I mean, and that it's up to the Democrats? I mean, do we have to even make, I don't know. I'm so fed up with this whole political nonsense of you vote for Democrats, therefore the Democrats are the ones that have to help you understand in this particular circumstance what he's talking about, why you should get a vaccine. The Republicans aren't going to pay any attention to it. And it's them, and it's pointing fingers, and it's just nasty. It's not funny.
Well, it shows up in the NFL because Cam Newton, I guess, is refusing to take the vaccine.
And what's going to happen to him?
Well, he has to take a test every day.
Okay. That's not unreasonable, right?
Well, it is if you... Well, it depends on the test. The test is annoying. I took the test because I had to get my eye operated on, and I needed the... did you hear the story, by the way?
About that... I think you mentioned something about you went to the place, there was nobody there.
No, I told that's the story by getting the test.
Oh.
But they stick it in your nose. This is not, it's unpleasant.
Right.
No, the story about my eye operation, I told you I had to push it off to Norgenna because it would gross you out. And I guess you never listened to the show.
I didn't listen that far into that show. Sorry, I'm a little bit behind maybe.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about it here?
Or
you
no.
What episode was it?
I'm talking about too often. My wife, she's heard it one too many times already.
So what episode was it on No Agenda? How many shows ago?
It was the Thursday show last week.
Oh, all right. So grab that. I will listen to that tomorrow morning on my jog. I will listen. I may have to stop and...
It's good. It's good stuff.
All right.
You have to stop and throw up.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's no problem.
So we have some more stock news and retail news. We talk about Amazon going backwards, opening retail and brick and mortar and all that. Toys R Us, with the backwards R, is opening up more than 400 Macy's stores within 400 Macy's stores.
Why?
I don't know.
Macy's started jobbing out their store some years ago.
Oh, it's horrible.
And so you go in there and there'd be a Tommy Hilfiger part of the store that's totally managed by them. There's no crossover. You have to go to their cashier in most situations. I mean, everything is, the store is just a bunch of compartments.
It's a flea market. Like one of those, it's a flea market.
It's like a flea market. It's just like one of those, you know, you want to remind me of one of those antique stores where every little section of the store is owned by some guy selling his antiques. You've ever been to one? Or you don't do an antique shopping.
I don't do antique shopping, but I know what you're talking about. It's like a jewelry exchange.
Yeah, where there's just a bunch of little shops. And it's like you run into this sort of thing in China. First time I ran into one of these deals was in Taiwan. They have this giant building where they sell jewelry and necklaces and all kinds of stuff. It's fantastic. And it's like all these, it's like a million little shops.
Yeah, and that's,
so, yeah.
I've been, the problem is when you go to Macy's and why I won't shop there anymore, if I want, let's say, a men's dress shirt, you would think you'd go to an area that has men's dress shirts. I mean,
exactly. Instead of Tommy Hilfiger's men's dress shirts and Armani's.
It's unbelievable. Men's dress. So
yeah, you got to go from terrible area to area to area to area to look for one shirt.
The worst. But now Toys R Us is opening up, so I guess you can go there as well.
Oh, by the way, just before I was on that little rant, you wonder why they are crapping out.
Yeah, exactly. So Macy's is joining forces with the owner of Toys R Us to bring an assortment of toys, games, and other gadgets to kids from more than 400 of the department store chains, locations, and online. Now, didn't Macy's already have a toy section?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know that they did. I know Target does.
This stupidest thing. There's so much stupidity. Everything has become an advertising. Everything is done for just the look. There's no substance anymore. Do you know what I mean? There's just no core, anything that's meaningful. It's just all about, let's just do something so we can get it out
there.
Toys
R Us went bankrupt and shuttered.
Yeah.
Well, then how are they doing this?
I don't know. I think a private equity pulled them out.
So private equity bought the brand name, yeah, I guess.
Exactly. And they probably just got all the stuff from China.
Sometimes they had a Toys R Us, they had a Babies R Us. Have you ever seen that?
Uh-huh.
I went in there once and there were no babies for sale. I think it's something of a fraud.
Best Buy earnings came out today, all looking good. Some supply chain issues they talked about, but that's kind of expected. And they said in the conference call, I found this peculiar, to say the least. Best Buy on Q2 conference call says they see a more promotional holiday environment, more discounting versus last year. Well, how is that?
Didn't the stock go up 8% after this crazy announcement?
Yeah, but how is there going to be more discounting versus last year?
I don't know what they were talking about. The whole thing was stupid.
Makes no sense to me. The fact that they are, we're in a situation where people are just buying things because they're sitting in front of them, right? I mean, people are just buying everything. You can go into the stores, and I happened to be in a Best Buy today, and there was a lot of areas. As a matter of fact, I was looking at the Sonos system, and they couldn't show me the Sonos amp. They couldn't even show me the one that's usually in the store because that was bought off the shelf.
Oh, somebody really wanted it bad.
Yeah. So how are they going to have, I think this is a real a questionable statement. It seems to me that they're worried about their profitability and they're trying to hide it in the discounting, because I can't imagine that there's going to be a significant amount of discounting going on at a time when there is an incredible amount of demand. Makes no sense.
No, but you know what does, what they, last time I was at a Best Buy, I noticed that they do this, and I talked to the guy, it was a policy, but this was over, this was pre-COVID. You can go in there and you say something you want to buy, and then you say, I want to get it cheaper. Is there any place that has, they will match prices, but they will actually do the research for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy goes on the computer and he finds it's some other company, you know, McCutcheon's or some name I never heard of, has it on sale, and they sold it to me for that price. I don't know what kind of, it's interesting that they're doing it. I think it's fantastic, but I don't know how they can make any money.
Yeah. But the stock is doing well. Of course, this is, again, I can't even, it's doing well. It's like they're guiding down, but And I guess the discounting thing, what really bothers me, not to harp on this and we'll kind of end here, but how could you have more discounting than last year? When last year was kind of in the throes of the upswell of the pandemic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
discounting mania.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Well, let's talk about OnlyFans getting out of the pornography business. Starting in October, the company will prohibit creators from posting material with sexually explicit content or conduct on its website, which many sex workers use to sell fans explicit content. Sex workers. They'll still be allowed to put up nude photos and videos. So I'm not sure what that means. I guess you could put up a nude photo and maybe just a quick video of yourself, but you can't do anything sexual.
I don't know what that means. Sounds sexual to me.
Maybe there's no sexual, there's no movement and there's no hands.
I'd like to know what the sexual part is now. Were they having sex, literally sex on the system?
No, well, OnlyFans puts up videos. So there was sexually explicit conduct, which I can understand the differential between nude photos, but
art.
Oh. It could be.
Nude photos, art.
Yes. So you're going to be able to go there for nude photos and videos. Bottom line is OnlyFans are going out of business. Let's just get that straight, it seems, right?
Maybe.
Pressured by the credit card companies like Pornhub was with MasterCard and Visa as they pulled the ability to take credit card charges. So, but it's not like you could still put it up, but we're not going to pay. You can't pay for it with credit cards. And maybe you could use some other kind of credit. No, they're just pulling it and saying you can't do this anymore. So you're going to see a lot of, baseball highlights, maybe?
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. Here's an interesting story. Student debt cancellation. The U.S. Department of Education announced on Thursday will cancel $5.8 billion in student debt for more than 320,000 borrowers. We need to look at this slowly. This is really kind of fascinating to me. The debt forgiveness, which will go to borrowers with a total and permanent disability, Now, I'm going to make sure that we're clear on this. The debt forgiveness for these 320,000
people. I
thought
it was just interest forgiveness.
It says the debt forgiveness. It's going to be debt, fully debt, gone. With permanent and total disabilities will be automatically granted using data already available to the Social Security Administration. People should start seeing the relief in September. So first of all, why? First of all, we have 320,000 people on total and permanent disability with $5.8 billion in student debt. What the hell are we doing?
That is a good question that needs some looking into.
That's a lot of people that are within a certain age range that have that much debt from student loans.
Yeah, and that much disability.
Yeah, I was trying to look up the disability stats, and majority of disability, people on total and permanent disability, are over the age of 65. So those people probably don't have student debt at this point, right?
I wouldn't think so. Okay. God, no.
So then I'm starting to look at the other ages, and I mean, it's very low under 20, for example, you know, total and permanent. And that probably is something to do with the descriptor from Social Security, because if you are totally and permanent disabled or disabled and getting disability as a child, depends on how you get it, and it could be from your parent and a dead parent, or and you can get their Social Security for life, or you could do it on your own. There's different ways that they can come up with this Social Security definition of if you're eligible to get disability from Social Security. So it just was a number that stuck out to me, 320,000. That must be, what do you think the age maximum of somebody that has student debt? 35?
Well, this has been accumulation, so this probably, they could be 40.
All right, 40. So now we have to look at the population from about 20 to 40 and see what that population is. Okay, fine. Those people that borrowed a lot of money that were totally and permanently disabled to begin with, right? Probably.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot of people. And then the other question is, I think, begs to be asked. How do they decide that people with total and permanent disabilities are the only players that are going to get this forgiveness? Like, how does that come? Is it a virtue signaling saying, you know what, we're being nice people? I don't understand.
I think there's an element of practicality and an element of virtue signaling, because these people are never going to pay the debt back anyway.
Right. But what, they may have been paying back the debt, but then they're paying it back maybe from their Social Security disability payments.
Yeah.
So it's just a kind of a round circle. But the thing is also, why would we not look at people who are in a very low income bracket that can't afford to pay for things, utilize an income methodology for this rather than a physical ability methodology? I just don't get it. I'm not into
listening. Well, you're never going to get it. I'm never going to get it. They're just not going to explain it.
Yeah, the government is really in their heads so far up their ass, don't they? I mean, that's obvious. I mean, it's a
point. We're not getting it.
Yep. That said, I think it's great if you're getting your student debt for whatever your reason is. That's great. I just don't understand the methodology behind that one. Maybe there's more to come. I guess in the $3.5 trillion human infrastructure plan, there'll be a lot more debt forgiveness coming, I suppose.
Yes.
The human infrastructure plan. Tops, you know those baseball card company?
Yeah.
You know, you would get those, and they've been doing it since, I don't know what year it is, like 1952.
No, I think it's got to go before that.
Major League Baseball will abandon Tops as a partner for trading cards in any relationship that began in 1952. They're replacing with Fanatics, the company that makes sports apparel. I think they're down here, in fact. I think they're in Fort Lauderdale, Fanatics, if I'm not mistaken.
They're kicking Tops?
Yeah, kicking Tops.
Yep. Why?
Well,
you don't like kids eating bubble gum, or what's the deal?
They renewed its deal with Tops in 2018, and an existing deal stands until 2025. And for whatever reason, I'm assuming there's one reason. There's only one reason.
Yeah, money.
Money. Yep. So, you know,
Major League Baseball doesn't make enough money from the deals they made with the network TVs and the special channels and ESPN and everybody else. They can't keep Tops going. They have to go. They're selling it. Why don't they sell out the names of the teams? You know, the General Electric Giants.
Oh,
I mean, why don't you go that, you know, go that way?
Right. Right. Yep. The Amazon Amazonians. Yep. The Facebook fakes. Well, they're going to be. Now, this is actually interesting. There was a merger deal with Mudrick Capital Partners and under the symbol MUDS. And that was going to be the excitement behind that was Mudrick was going to take in Tops and the whole thing was going to be NFTs. Remember that?
Yep.
That's gone. That's just dissolving. So I don't know if you want to talk about Afghanistan, you know, this massive, I don't know what to call it, blunder, poor decision making. I don't even know why. I don't understand how any advisors to the president would allow for this. The whole thing is horrific, to say the least. So I'm sure you've talked about that on.
Yeah, it's talked out.
Yep. Crypto or gold? While some companies like Tesla diversifying into Bitcoin, data analytics software company Palantir is betting on gold. I thought this was really weird. So this is a company that's a data analytics company, clearly in the tech space, clearly cutting edge. They bought $50 million in gold bars in August. And they disclosed that in their latest earnings statement. And the move reflects a growing company slashing its cash in an unconventional asset in response to economic uncertainty spurred by the coronavirus pandemic and government's response to it. So $50 million in gold bars. I don't know how many gold bars that is, but that's a few. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And each gold bar weighs a lot. And not only that, has to be put into obviously some kind of special place somewhere, whether it's on premises, which you would think that somebody is buying gold would want to keep it on premises. I'm just saying, right?
Yeah. I would keep it off at least. Well, except for maybe one bar, you know, if you want to have it as a desk, as a paperweight.
Paperweight. Yes. Or maybe a doorstop or something. Yeah. Right. But I don't know. Why would they buy such a hard asset with, you know, first of all, it's an unprofitable company. They haven't turned a profit.
Yeah, I saw this story too, and I was wondering what are they thinking? What's going on here? Something's fishy.
Yeah, it's odd that they would buy. Now, maybe they're also talking about buying Bitcoin and diversifying some of their assets otherwise, but you would think that, and $50 million is not a small amount. That's a pretty sizable amount. So I think they do also a lot of work with the government, Palantir. I think they have some pretty big contracts with the government. And you want to know, the obvious question then has to be raised, what do they know?
Yeah, well, that's the way the story played out.
Right.
What do they know that we don't know?
Yeah. American Airlines this week extended a suspension of domestic main cabin alcohol sales through January 18th in an effort to curb unruly traveler behavior that has surged this year. We are doing all we can to help create a safe environment for our crew and customers on board our aircraft, they said. And Southwest Airlines may also delay the resumption of sales as well. So, like I said, it's very odd that you're in the main cabin, you can't get, but, you know, somebody's having a white Russian right in front of you.
Don't know. Yeah.
We talked about China stocks last week. More than $560 billion in market value has been wiped off the Hong Kong and mainland China exchanges in a week as funds capitulate out of the once favored stocks, unsure of what sectors regulators will target next. What was really interesting was that China tech stocks slumped to new lows, a 10-month low. And in some cases, some stocks, you look at some of the big names, are down like by their pandemic reaction low prices. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So
it's wild.
And they did bounce back. There was a big day today, very big day today. There was some clarification of regulations. I think the regulators are like, hey, you know, listen, we don't want to kill these companies. We just want them to pay up. So, and then Airbnb came out with an announcement today. They're going to house upwards of 10,000 Afghan refugees. Did you see that story?
Yes, I did.
So let me get this straight. I put my house up on Airbnb, and are they going to be able to use my house, or is Airbnb own houses, or how's that work?
I have no idea. There's no details on this. I mean, is possible they do own? I mean, it seems like a good business to own some of the houses. I can't imagine they're going to put them in your house because it's just part-time. I'm going to be gone for a week. I guess there's a lot of standalone houses that people just buy and they never live in.
But who's paying? These are refugees from Afghanistan. That's what I'm asking. Who's paying? It's not like the Afghans are like, hey, got, like some, that Fort Lauderdale house right there.
It's like there's Catholic charities or some operation. There'll be some scamish group that'll be out there paying for this.
Oh, the Afghan Resettlement Fund. You're going to start seeing commercials on TV. Exactly. You're going to see commercials on TV, and you're going to see horrible images of people walking through the desert, carrying, you know, like an empty jug of water.
And then they'll be peeing in the sink at your place.
Right. Oh, God. Now, it is strange. And then Airbnb was up like 8% today on this news. I don't know if it was the news.
I know. I saw Airbnb stock. It's pretty funny. It's
kind of weird. Anyway, housing market thoughts. This week I was asked by several different people that I was with, people that are business people, people that are just, you know, your average Joe. They asked about my thoughts on a major break or crash in the housing market. And I said, you know, we don't see outwardly and overtly a lot of the things that we saw back in 2000, I guess starting about 2006, 2007. With the leverage on leverage on leverage on leverage, with the securitization, with the packaging, right? With the everybody in cahoots.
Yeah, and everybody can get a loan and people would lie in. There's a lot of, and then they were packaging things and getting phony baloney ratings.
Right.
Everything was wrong.
We don't have that necessarily outwardly and very visible right now. There's some things going on with some packaging again, and there's some oddities happening. I think the Airbnb discussion and the vacation rentals by owner and all that has also created a major market for building houses. You're like, hey, I'll buy a second house. Maybe I'll move somewhere one day and utilize it. In the meantime, I'll just rent it out through Airbnb. And the idea that there is a significant amount of opportunity to have either positive or neutral cash flow on the deals.
Yeah, and I don't know that.
How could I lose?
You know, I have. Yeah, it sounds good on paper. So I have a couple Airbnb places around here, and the guys moved out. I don't know. They're vacant. Nobody's doing Airbnb in at least in California that I know of, at least in any way that they used to do it. I think this is a loser.
I don't know. It seems to me that there is opportunity, but you know, is there space in the world for the continuation of the massive build out of hotels and to have all these vacation properties at the same time? It seems like there's not enough people moving around to, you know, take advantage of all of these things. Although I was at hotels the last few years. I think I told you, I went up to the Cocoa Beach area, that kind of area in mid Florida.
Yeah.
Packed hotels, packed. The middle of summer, it's like 9,000 degrees. You walk on the sand, you get blisters immediately on your feet.
Yeah, it's a bad time to be in Florida.
And meanwhile, everybody's there. The rooms are packed. Like 110% occupancy kind of thing. People sleeping on the roof. Crazy. So, again, interesting. But here's what happened. What I really went back to, which was a recent survey by 6,000 real estate agents. And basically, the conclusion what they came up with was a few things. One, buyer exhaustion. Buyers are just like, kind of like, it's gotten to a point that there's not that level of excitement and desire. Two, still high cash in a lot of the deals, not a lot of leverage being used, loans being used, which is really interesting considering the fact that we have a really low interest rate environment.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It is weird.
You know, the old story of, if I told you, John, that, you know, you could borrow money at 0%, how much will you borrow?
And then I say, no, I'll do all a cash deal.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
It's crazy.
Yep. There's less incentive buying going on. So therefore, the people that said, hey, I'll give you my first baby or I'll give you, an extra $75,000 on top. And there's more inventory. So it's a bit of a flattening out of that massive peak that went on. So. And finally, in this section, we're going to talk about Spotify, which is now opening up subscription services. Spotify made the announcement today. They said, starting today, we're making podcast subscriptions available for all U.S. podcasters. Our model is built to maximize creator revenue and offer the widest possible reach to creators so they can grow their audience and develop deep connections with listeners. Creators will find in this program or this area called Anchor that they'll be able to mark episodes as subscriber only and publish them to Spotify and other platforms. And they're doing all sorts of updates and things like that. So what that tells me is that their current model isn't working so well.
That's what it tells me too.
Right?
Yeah.
So
this is one of those things. It's also one of those things, people, it's a buyer beware thing. You can get, say you're a podcast, you get in on this deal, and next thing you know, it starts working well. Well, they change the terms.
Oh yeah.
As soon as it starts working well, they change the terms. That's what all these types of companies do.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, they have been in the process of dismantling what was so good. But what will happen is, eventually, the cream is going to rise to the top again, right?
That's what happens all the time.
Yeah, so when those people that are looking to make a quick buck on this kind of deal where they're going to make, you know, $1.50 per show because they have 12 listeners and all of them participated 30 cents a piece or something. You know, that's just not going to do it. The fact is that not to mention, you're probably going to split this with Spotify somehow, right?
Well, at first the Spotify will have very liberal terms. So you're going to get the bulk of it. Podcasts will make out. And then once that turns out to be unprofitable, it starts to change. I think Apple's tried to pull this stunt a couple of times.
Yep. While we're talking about that, we are going to go right into the donation section of our show and mention
meanwhile,
from the old version of podcasting. If you want to make a donation, hey, it's all up to you. Go over to dhunplugged.com and you can spend as much as you'd like. You could provide, a final amount that would really make you proud in life and probably bring you a lot of prosperity yourself by doing something, kind of paying it forward concept. So you can do that over on DH Unplugged. Click on the yellow button, click on donate. And if anybody that is listening and you all are listening and learning, finding some humor, and maybe even some education, well, go over. It's time to do something about it. Now, got to talk about DH Unplugged, close to the pin, announcing John's pick, because of his cataract surgery, Alcon, ALC. Now, this is open for the next, probably next 4 or 5 days, open for the price guess. We always announce this on Twitter, but make sure to go over. You can win a one-of-a-kind DH Unplugged t-shirt, as well as be in the race for the closest to the pin cup for the end of the year, which is you get this really big trophy if you win, and it's kind of an exclusive invitation only deal.
Yeah, it's the invitational.
What else?
Yeah, I got the this company has been in the contact lens business forever. Not contact. I'm sorry. The whatever you call them,
optical lenses, cataract lenses.
Cataract lenses that goes inside your eyeball. And they're pretty much the leader. I mean, especially once they get some of the new stuff they've just done that's been popular in Europe for a few years. Now it's over here. So one of the things I got in my eyeball is one of them.
Yep. I just want to mention one other piece of news here. I think we have to take this slowly. I don't even know why this is news. And this is just from the lunacy out there. And the news item says this: while the public has been calling on Bezos to end world hunger or buy vaccines for almost 2/3 of the planet's population, he's been able to live out every child's wildest dream by putting a soft-serve ice cream tap in his house, according to the ice cream machine maker CVT Soft Serve. What?
What does that mean?
The guy put a soft-serve machine in his house. I don't even
know. Kind of extravagant.
It's extravagant, but okay. It's the worst thing in the world. I mean, I'm sure they were saying this when people were putting ice makers in their house, refrigerators before everybody had them.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a thing. I just find it interesting that they're making such a big deal about, you know, he probably has a pool at his house that's probably cost $300,000, $400,000 just for the pool. Probably has a kitchen that was designed that probably cost $500,000. But he puts a, what, $10,000 soft serve ice cream machine in his house?
I don't think it costs that much. I think you can get it cheap.
All right, so even so, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Now, if he had a frozen margarita machine, that's different.
Yeah, no, that, yeah.
Oh. You could have that in the tiki house.
We have one.
What?
We don't have the one that is automatic, but we have one of those like margarita ones. It's like a blender that chops the ice and then spins it all up for you.
No, it's not the one that's just constantly churning.
No, not the one like a Fat Tuesdays.
Boom, you got a margarita.
Yeah, no, that would be kind of fun.
It's like
though.
The ones you go to New Orleans and these bars, they got like 10 of these things with different drinks. Here's a frozen daiquiri.
And they're all so bad. I don't like those premixes.
Well, yeah, because they use cheap booze in them. That's why.
Terrible. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. I don't think anything has come off this week. I don't think anything was kicked off.
It doesn't look like it. A couple of things worth noting. When I picked old eyes, we have Alcon on here. You got the China bounce was a big winner from last show.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else. Everything else is kind of dead money. Some insiders are not working. Your ventilation stock Train Technologies is still there.
But it's catching up. FVC Cap.
And FVC Bancorp. It's like they're running neck to neck. Mm-hmm. Bubblegum sticking to the rail. And Honeywell's up for some reason.
Our Pfizer, our joint pick of Pfizer. Oh, yeah,
that always wins.
That was, let's think.
Luckily.
Let's look when that was. I want to just mention this. Just a second. I think this is important to flush out our ability to kind of look at the future in a way that makes some sense and kind of talk about it together and think about what stock may work. For example, April 21st, this was far before we were talking about boosters. April.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was a while ago. This was last year. It was this year, but it was back in April.
Right, and look at our thesis.
That was actually kind of late in the game. We could have gotten in earlier.
Right, but our thesis was we're going with Pfizer because we know there's going to be boosters, so there'll be another ramp involved here.
Yeah, that's what we assumed.
Right?
Yeah, well, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah. It's more like, you know what, we should buy it again and just put now the thesis is everybody will be outfitted with an automatic drip machine. You know, like the people that get the insulin on the insulin
drip,
pump?
Drip, drip, drip.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why not?
All connected.
Somebody should come up with that.
Yeah. Just connected to a
COVID. I've got a couple. Antibody. I've got the GameStop short.
All right. Let me put that in there. GME.
Time.
Enter.
I got this other one, which is a stock that's kind of all of the stocks that went down, OSCR.
OSCR? OSCR?
Yeah, OSCR.
Okay.
Which is Oscar with some therapeutics. It's what is the name of this company? Can't seem to get the screen.
It's Oscar Health.
Yeah, Oscar Health. It's been in the tank. It was up as high as $30 recently, and now it's down to, I don't know.
1240.
1250.
Yeah.
And this is an insider's thing. And now this is a riskier one than usual because this one guy who's the executive chairman, I think, if I can get back to the page.
I'm just entering this stuff while you're doing this and stretching.
Joshua Kushner, who is the co-founder and vice chairman. That's what he is. He's been by this month on August 20th, August 23rd, and August 24th. And August 20th, he bought $1 million worth. Then on the 23rd, he bought $1.6 million worth. And then the stock was at $13.41, went down. He bought more. He doubled down. He's got no track record as an insider, so I can't say that he's maybe not an idiot.
I need to stop you. Do you know who his brother is?
Jared.
That's correct.
And so then he bought $1.6 million. And then on the 24th, he bought $13.6 million worth of stock. Now, when the co-founder does that, he either knows something or he's got a clue. There's something's up because there's no evidence that he's a trader and he's just, you know, doing his thing and he's buying and selling and having fun. He's going all in. And something's up with this company. And so I figure, well, you know, this looks like a good pick from, but knowing that he's not a guy who trades his stock normally.
Mm-hmm.
So all right. There you have it.
There we go. All right, we're going to add that. That's a long on that one on OSCR. And I'm still trying to hold out a little bit for something extra special, which I thought I got last week. But there's just so many names in the list that I just don't want to keep on increasing.
Yeah, it's getting they're piling up. We got to get a few. Well, if the market does one dipsy do, it'll wipe out half of these stocks.
Right. That's correct.
But it hasn't. It just kind of plods along.
Just keeps on going higher. Let me kind of call this right. All right. We are all up. We're all updated. Go again. 9 insiders on this one, and we're in good shape. All right. Well, I think we're going to have to end it there, and we will then pick this up at the last day of the month of August 2021.
Got it.
All right. See you then.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida, and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.